But anyway, it's great to be here, and particularly on the day we can celebrate communion. Just thinking, why do we have communion? Why? To remember. And why do we need to remember?
We forget.
Boy, I tell you, that's it. And you know, the Lord knew. He knew we would forget. And in our discipleship material that we've developed, we decided to try to make disciples and establish new believers just like they did in the early church, because I don't know of a better model than the early church, one that simple, ordinary men went out and turned the world upside down and went from Jerusalem to Rome in 25 years. That's quite a church. That's those disciples. It's amazing. And we have to remember, they didn't have PowerPoint. They didn't have a speaker. They didn't have cars. They didn't have planes. They didn't have motorbikes. Didn't have buses, telephones, Facebook, email. They had none of that. So that, in doing that, we noticed one thing, and Terry was a part of this too, that as you look in Acts 2:42, well, I mean Acts chapter 2, when you see in verse 38, when they believed, they repented and believed the gospel, when they received the word, the first thing that they did was what? In verse 41, they baptized. And then the second thing, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and to prayers. So right there you have two things. I believe they're the only two things that really we're told to do in the church today, basically, is to baptize and to have communion. And they all are to remind us of the gospel of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. 2:41, they gladly received the word and they were baptized. They obeyed and followed like Christ in baptism. If you think about it, I know baptism does not save anyone, but if you know, I have looked back, and I know when I got saved, it was a year later I was baptized. But I've often thought, what would have happened the day I got saved if I had made sure that the gospel, understood the gospel, everything, what it was about, if I'd been baptized? Because baptism just is a way to actually feel what the Holy Spirit has done. Dying with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ. That would have been, I think, maybe more of an impact right after I was saved than a year later. People say, well, maybe they don't know enough to be baptized. Well, if you don't know enough to be baptized, you ain't saved. Because the gospel's pretty simple. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that's the gospel. And it's that simplicity and brevity that makes the gospel so powerful. I mean, when I got saved in 1978, drinking, everything you can imagine I was doing, and I heard that little simple message, and I went down praying on my knees, hating God, hating God's word, hating my mother for preaching at me all the time. And a second later, I come up loving my mother, loving the Lord, and loving God's word. Only thing I knew was Jesus died on the cross. God sent his son, died on the cross, was buried, rose again. The second thing they did here was to break bread together. Now think about that. What if you took a new believer and you baptized that new believer, and then you're going to have communion with him? So all of a sudden, they get an opportunity not only to feel what the Holy Spirit did going into the water, but actually to taste the gospel. to taste the gospel. And there you are explaining to that new believer the gospel, what the bread is, what the cup is. And that's what we read in 2:42. So, one is done when we're saved. That's water baptism. The second thing is something that is not just a one-time event. That's an ongoing thing. And Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me. And then we see it practiced in the book of Acts and then in Paul's letters in the early church. A very, very sacred, important time. Because we forget. We forget. And see if I can operate this thing. We forget who we are in Christ. We forget how rich we are in Christ. Now, in 1978, when I accepted Christ, I had all these riches in Christ. I didn't earn them. They didn't come upon me later. I had all of this. I was alive in Christ. I was dead, so I was alive. I was an heir, joint heir with Christ, with God's Son. And then I was blessed in Christ, adopted into God's family. I was secure in Christ. I was complete in Christ. I no longer had a drink or anything. I was complete. I had everything I needed in Christ at that point. I had power to overcome sin in Christ. I had peace inside for the first time. Had peace. And then I was redeemed. I was taken off the slave block of sin and set free and liberated through the blood of Christ, redeemed. I was going to heaven, and I knew I was going. It's amazing. I knew. I had always doubted. I wonder if I can get into heaven. I wonder if I die, I'll go to heaven. Maybe I'm never killed. You know, you go through all those things. Well, let me tell you, that day I knew that if I died right then, I was going to heaven. Oh, let me tell you, and I was scared of dying before that. I was set free in Christ. I was forgiven in Christ. All my sins forgiven. And I went down so guilty, so guilty, loaded down with sin and guilt. All of a sudden, I was forgiven. I realized that I was chosen in Christ. Many called, but I was chosen. He chose me. I was made righteous in Christ. I had hope now. Oh, drinking everything, I felt like I was falling into a bottomless, dark pit with no bottom and falling deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into death and darkness and sin. I was a terrible shape. Grace. God's grace is sufficient. I can look back on this now and I understand it much better. Although I'm still working some of these things out, who I am in Christ, and I have life now, abundant life, not just eternal life, but abundant life. So I have all those things in Christ. So that's what we're here to do in communion, is to remember who we are in Christ, to remember the gospel. The gospel of pure grace. That's why we're here. So we got to remember, Jesus told Martha, 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 you're worried about so many things. What? How many things are necessary? One thing. So we're here to, communion is a time we can remember that really only one thing in life matters. You get that right, you got it. That's pretty simple. And that's the gospel. That's that little simple message I was telling you about. That's what we remember. Simple, simple, simple little message that had such a tremendous impact in my life. And I assume yours too. So that's where it starts right there. So as a reminder, as we get caught up in so many things in the world, we get caught up in marriage, yeah, sometimes we get caught up in marriage. I mean, we've never had one of those marriages where we've never had an argument, never had a problem. But you know, I'm glad we know the answer to all the problems in marriage. And then family problem. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I know some of you. You know me. We've We've never had the whole perfect, the perfect family with the perfect children. So, but I can tell you that through that, I've learned who I am in Christ. I've learned how rich I am in Christ. I've learned that really I am complete in Christ, even if everything else falls apart. So, but family can distract us from the one thing. And that's the reason we need to be reminded. That's the reason we need communion. We need to come. And that's the reason the Lord told us, remember. It's because He knew we can get caught up in our family situations. That I'm sure we could all go around here and just share many, many things. And they're major things. And they're major distractions. But we got to remember, every problem on this earth comes from one thing. What is that? Sin, death, sick. People say, why did he die? Why is that? Everything comes from sin. Everything. Boy, I tell you, things just get so simple when it comes to the Lord, the older I get. But every problem in the world today, every problem in the family, every problem in the marriage, every problem is sin. It comes from sin. And there's only one solution to that problem. The blood of Christ. That's the reason we remember. Because that's the only answer to the only problem, which is sin. So, and we get caught up in church things. Yeah, sure can. We can get busy doing good things like Martha fixing a meal for Jesus. I think that was a pretty good thing. But she forgot the one thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary sat in at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, that's all that's necessary, Martha. And that will not be taken away from you. And by the way, Martha, Jesus said, it is the best thing you can do. So in our busy activities, in our families, in the church, in the world, jobs, so forth, this is a chance to come and remember the one thing. To remember the one thing. Incidentally, I put this together. I have to tell you, I didn't put it together for you, but I put it together when I was in Burma about 6 months ago. And I got there, and their PowerPoint, everything was broken. Didn't work. So when Terry asked me, I said, hey, this is an opportunity. I can use this today. So I kind of blended it in here to make it work. But I think it works. I mean, anyway, remember who we are in Christ will impact our marriage, our family, the church, and the world we live in. The one thing. That one thing. And so as we come today to have the Lord's Supper, we're this is in our new discipleship material, but anyway, we remember the Passover. You know, I'm thinking about those disciples there in Jerusalem. These were most, I'm sure, Jews that got saved. So immediately when they got saved, their minds switched from the Passover in the Old Testament. We probably don't relate to the Passover in the Old Testament. But I remember, I don't know, maybe I was a kid. I don't remember how old I was. You ever seen the Ten Commandments? One thing stood out in me on those Ten Commandments, scared me to death. And that was the death angel going through that village there in Egypt. Oh, that scared me. So, they were thinking the Passover. That was a major memorial for the Jews. So all of a sudden, here's Jesus, the Passover lamb. And they're thinking back. So I wanted to scare us this morning, to try to help us see the impact, how thankful we are for Jesus, the Passover lamb. And maybe, I don't know what that looked like back then. I don't know. I wasn't there. But this thing is from a movie in 1998 that I found that maybe gives us a little idea of what it might have looked like. Now, keep in mind, think back to before you were saved. Think back. You know, we forget. We forget. So we do this and remember. To remember who we are in Christ now, that we're a new creation. We're forgiven, redeemed, justified. I had probably 25 things listed there. Let me tell you, I've shared this over the years. There's like 200 or 300 things we have in Christ. So many things. We're so rich in Christ. But anyway, just think back. What if we didn't have our sins forgiven? What if we didn't have the Lord with us during those dark times? What if we had to carry around our sin? What if we knew we'd die? We're not sure whether we go to heaven or hell. And I mean, that would be a terrible thing. That would be a terrible thing. So I share that, and I'm going to show something here that makes us appreciate the Passover lamb. Hopefully makes us really, really appreciate that. I mean, I don't know if you're in better shape as I was. If you didn't think you were because you were dead. Everybody's dead in their sins before they're saved. Good, bad people, whatever. But anyway, so let me look at the next one. And we can switch those lights, maybe some of them. Well, can you hit the one of the buttons on the computer and see if it'll... Thank you. Well, I don't think I'm going to be able to... Okay. Well, that's a shame. Anyway, have one. If that comes on, let me know. We'll know if it comes on. If it comes on, we will adjust quickly. It played at home, but so if you get it going, just let it play and we'll... Anyway, this shows the death angel coming through that night. And how, when they put the blood on the doorpost, how the death angel passed that house over. I have thought about what if you'd been there. And I think even with the blood on the doorpost, I think I would have been scared to death. But then after the death angel passed, then I'd say, you know, really, I didn't have to be afraid. That sounds like it. Okay. But so it just shows where the blood is on the doorpost. And let me look at that scripture. Let me look back here and look at that scripture in Exodus. Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. And every..." You think this will work? If you think the thumb drive give you that back will work?
Was that loaded on the house computer?
Huh?
Was it loaded on the house computer?
No. There. Well, if it works, fine. Never. Okay. "I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who's behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And there shall be a great cry all throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again." And it's interesting, the very next verse here says, "That you may know that the Lord makes no distinctions between Egypt and Israel." That hit me this morning when I was reading that, you know, just because we're, as Edith used to, we got married, they asked if we were Christians, and I said, "Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home." She says, "I live in America." So, you know, it's pretty much what she said. And but, you know, it shows us right here that God, you still got to go through the blood of Christ. You still got to be saved. Your family doesn't save you. Being in a Christian church or society or baptized, none of that stuff. God doesn't make any distinctions. It's through the blood of Christ, and that's the only way. So then he goes on and he says, "At midnight the Lord struck down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Just imagine that night when the death angel's going around and the blood is on the doorpost. He passes you over, and then even Pharaoh's son was killed. And it really helps us to appreciate. I mean, that's us without the blood of Christ, the death angel. We're dead. We're dead without the blood of Christ. And so this is important. This is major important to remember the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice. And we read in Matthew 26 where He says that the bread represents my body and the cup, the blood of the new covenant. You know, those Jews must have really rejoiced when it is finished. One sacrifice, one for all. It's done. It's done. Our sins are forgiven if we are in Christ, if we've been born again and saved. And Jesus makes a point that do this in remembrance of me. Not remembrance of our works. And I'm going to get to that in a minute because I think we've confused what communion's about. We don't remember how good we are. And we don't come here to try to get good. And we'll see that in just a minute. We remember the gospel. The only one's good, the only one's perfect is Jesus. He was the perfect lamb. He's the one that was sacrificed. He's the only one that's worthy. And He's the only one that gives us worth. That's the only reason we can come. And you can sit there like I used to, and I actually used to teach this, that, you know, we're having communion. I can't take communion because my life is not right or whatever. Well, let me tell you something. If that's true, then none of us are going to take communion. We take communion because He is worthy. Jesus said, the bread represents who He is, and the blood represents what He did. The bread is Jesus. He says, I am the bread of life. I give life. I give life. You'll never hunger or thirst again. He who eats my bread, body, will never hunger again. Boy. You know what they said? We want that. That's what they said right in John 6. They said, we want that. We want some of that. Let me tell you, there's a world out there that's hungry and thirsty. And they keep eating more and more. And never, always more, makes you more hungry. Jesus said, I am the bread. They ate the manna in the Old Testament. Now, here again, you're thinking about early church, and you're thinking about mostly Jews. So they're talking about manna. They ate manna from heaven, but what happened to them? They died. They all died. But when you eat the bread, the Lord Jesus, you'll live forever, and you'll have life, and you'll have forgiveness, and you'll have hope. And you'll have redemption. And you'll be set free. And you'll be complete. And you'll not lack anything. And you can go on and on and on. This is what we do, is remember who we are in Christ. He is the living bread. That's who He is. And then the blood, the cup, the juice, is what He did. And I must look at Isaiah 53:3 here. Because this tells us what He did. This was God. God's Son, God who became a man and came to this earth, the perfect Lamb, one who never sinned. But He, in Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for what? For our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His stripes we're healed. That's what He did. That's what He did for us. We can't do it for ourselves. He did that. And that's what we remember. And no matter what we do, we will never, ever, ever measure up. jumping down here, I want to end with a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, one that we use so often. And chapter 11, verse 23, "For what I received from the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" A consistent thread all the way from the Old Testament into the Gospels, into the epistles, all through the Bible. "Do this in remembrance of me." "In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" He wants us to remember. Remember him. Remember the one thing. You see, he's doing that because he knows us. And he knows our only hope in this life, in our marriage, in our families, in our church, in this world, the only hope we have is in Christ. That's it. And he wants us, because he loves us, he wants us to know that. I mean, he wants us to remember that, hey, one thing is necessary. Just remember that. "And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord." How do you partake unworthy? "Let each person examine himself, that then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." If we partake of the communion and we don't recognize the Lord Jesus, that's what they were doing. The focus is not us. The focus is Christ. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying here, remember who you are in Christ. You're not that old person, that old sinner, just doing the best I can. Our value, our worth is found in Christ, our redemption, our forgiveness. So if we do that without recognizing Christ as the one who is worthy, then, and we think, well, I'm going to get worthy. Let me tell you, you're not saved by good works. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. A person that tries to be who they are in, tries to earn their position in Christ, will be most miserable, because you'll never do it. You'll always be falling short. We realize who we are in Christ, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We come here. We cling to him because he's our only hope. He's our only forgiveness. We've been baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and sealed in the Holy Spirit. That's what we remember. It's a time we focus on Christ. We focus on his worthiness, on what he did on the cross, his love, his sacrifice. Those words, "It is finished." When we move from that position, we move in freedom. We move in hope. That's the only hope. Works and law, we know. The Bible, most of the Bible is written to show that you're never going to make it. So we remember him. We remember his worth. We recognize his body. We recognize that he made us a new person. So we need to be who we are in Christ. Our foundation is who we are in Christ. And so as we face problems in the world, and I'm sure we all have problems, we come back to the one thing that's necessary, is who we are in Christ. The blood, what Christ did for us. We remember that Christ is our Passover. Christ is not an example for us to follow. So we sit here and say, well, I want to be like Jesus. No, that'd be like a road sign that says Raleigh that way. He's not a roadside that points us to heaven or to these things. He's not that. No, he's the vehicle that takes us to Raleigh. He's not a way shore. He is the way. So we've got to remember that as we come to a community, he's not just showing us a way. He is the way. He is everything. He is our life. He is everything. We have nothing without Jesus. And I don't care what you do, you will never earn that. That's given to us by grace. That is the foundation. We move from that of who we are. Corinthians, they had fallen back into sin. What did he say? He said, you are a new creation. Remember who you are in Christ. And then at the end of Corinthians, he says what he says here. Examine yourself. Prove that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You might fail the test. So someone here may fail the test. If you're not a new creation, if you don't just come here and say, oh, Lord, I need you so bad. I just need your forgiveness. I need your worth. I need everything in my life. You're everything. You're my everything. So anyway, as we have communion, I will close with that. I will close with one verse here, and then we'll read there in Corinthians about taking the bread. But let me just read, and if I'd been able to show that video, it would have really, I think, made it impacted me. But anyway, some great words here. Back in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 7. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may have a new lump, as you really are unleavened. See, here again, that kind of follows exactly what I was talking about. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Death has been destroyed. Did you know, if your hope and whole life is in, and you've been born again, we're going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. I tell you, and that's what we celebrate. It's really a celebration time. Celebrate. To celebrate who we are in Christ. All those things that we have in Christ. Let's see. Right there. So much more. That's the tip of the iceberg. Christ, our Passover lamb. No longer have to fear death. No longer have to carry around guilt. But when we do fall short, and we do, we remember that the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us. We remember who we are in Christ, a new creation. That lives. That will take you to a victorious life. If you say, I'm just a poor old sinner. Yeah, hey, even call the Corinthians saints. That was a pretty bad church. Even call them saints, because God wants us to realize who we are in Christ. I tell you, we're rich. And you know what? No one can ever, ever take that away from you. Nobody. I don't care how you feel this morning, what you're going through. If you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, if you've been born again, you've been born again, you're a new creation. If you're not, and you examine yourself, and you're not sure, and you don't meet the test of who you are in Christ, then, like I said, it's a very simple message. Just, Lord, I believe. Very simple gospel message. Okay, I better get quiet here. Okay, we'll have...